Hi, friends.
Hello, should I delete that, listeners?
We still have some tickets left for our live tour and we would absolutely love to see you there.
On Thursday, the 23rd of May, we will be performing in the London Islington Assembly Hall.
On Monday, the 27th of May, we will be in Salford.
On Tuesday, the 28th of May, we'll be in Glasgow.
Sunday, the 2nd of June, Birmingham.
Monday, the 3rd of June, Bristol.
And Tuesday, the 4th of June in Southampton.
You can get your tickets at aegpresents.co.uk or via the link in the show notes or our Instagram bios.
We really hope we see you there.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What if you make the wrong choice? I don't believe in making the wrong choice. That never enters my brain. Like, every single thing I've thought and said and done has brought me to this moment. So none of it was wrong.
Hello and welcome back to Should I Delete That? Today's guest is one we have had many, many times due to popular demand and a crushing sense of pressure in my own personal life. Jacqueline has agreed to come back to talk to us and this episode felt so good.
It was pure therapy. Including tears.
I make no apology for the fact that we get Jacqueline in here solely for our own mental health. Like, if you're struggling with overwhelm or the feeling like everything is just getting on top of you or that there is just so much pressure and you don't know which way to turn, this is the episode for you.
Another conversation that I will be thinking about for a long time to come, and we really hope that you guys love it too. Here's Jack.
Hi, Jack. Thanks so much for coming back.
Jack is back.
We can't
keep you away.
No. We can't let you go.
No, yeah. Don't mean can't keep you away. Other way around.
Shoot.
You can't keep us away.
Yeah. Let me in. I want to come back.
Other way around.
I do. I love it.
In the business of oversharing, about 3 weeks ago, I sent Jack a text and I was like, I can't cope. Like, I'm not okay. I can't even remember the exact wording, but I don't think it was much further away from like...
I wonder if I've still got it.
Help.
Oh my God, please stop.
It will literally just be like, help. So anyway, Jack and I had a session like 3 weeks ago. Old school, because we actually haven't done that since you started coming and therapizing me publicly. We haven't really had any like... sessions, just Jacqueline and I.
Oh, hang on, wait, I've got the message.
Hold on.
Which is really interesting. Hi, I don't suppose you have any time to talk to me, do you? Strug City over here.
Strug City.
How sweet is that? I don't suppose you have any time. Like, how sweet? I loved it.
Don't worry. Oh, no,
there's the message.
Strug City. I mean, resident me. I'm the mayor. But yeah, I was really struggling. And I've had any periods of it. But I had this one session with you and you said something which I have thought about every single day about the pressure that's been on me and the overwhelm that I've been feeling. And you said that if people keep putting things on top of me, it's no wonder that everything's going to come out sideways. And I've thought about it every time I've lashed out or felt emotional or felt this random surge of anger or emotion or stress or whatever. And I've been like, it's because something's on top. Like, I need to look up and like see what the last thing that was put on that's like tipped me over. Anyway, it really adjusted my perspective.
I feel like I'm going to put my hand up.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have said people putting things on top of you.
No, sorry.
Just because the language is really important. Like, it's more like what you allow to go on top of you is then what's coming out sideways, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a jug of water, yeah? The more that goes on, it spills over.
Yeah, okay? I keep thinking, you know those videos, do you guys see them on TikTok where people just put like crayons in, like under like hydraulic presses?
Oh yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
No, I have, well, I'm not really.
Have you? Oh, no. Great. It's like a hydraulic press, you know, there's like super.
Yeah.
And it shows people just put stuff in them, like crayons or...
And
like,
what happens?
Well, they get crushed, but they're always beautiful. Like when things come out the side and like and they explode.
So satisfying.
It's so satisfying. Yeah. They make good noises. Mm. But anyway, I feel like that's been me recently.
Okay.
But anyway, we had this session and it was really amazing. And then ironically, Jacqueline told me to do less. And she said I had my homework was to do one less thing every day. Mm-hmm. And I needed to like prioritize more time and all of this. And then we were supposed to see each other the week after. And then I had to cancel because I was so busy. And I thought I was going to be in big trouble. Don't know if I was. I didn't.
You didn't follow up.
No,
who are you going to be in trouble with?
I thought you'd be like annoyed with me.
Why would I ever do that? Like, that's on you. You want to cancel because you haven't taken my advice? No problem. No, but seriously, yeah, that's not like, you know,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Decision. What
yeah.
do you do with that?
Yeah. I'm never, that's true.
You know, that's the thing about coaching. It's really about being in a super safe space of like, I'm never judging people.
Yeah.
I'm never like giving you my opinion of what you should do. Like, no. Like, it's about you, me showing you and teaching you how to adult yourself, right? Which is really important.
I'm such a bad adult. But I thought we could talk about the overwhelm thing.
Yeah.
I feel like you and I are both at a point in our lives where we have this pressure and we put it on ourselves. Like, this is what I'm taking away from this, is I put so much on myself.
Yeah.
And it's not great. And I'm not very good at boundarying myself. And I don't know if I can't speak to you, but
is that a gendered thing as well? It is, right? It's got to be.
I think it's relative because men also have their own, you know, forms of pressure.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, women are, you know, we have our forms of pressure, but men also have their forms of pressure.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wouldn't say it is a gender thing at all.
Okay.
I think it's, you know, we want to say that, oh, men get away with more, but they've also got their own forms of pressure. They've got, it's all quite relative, you know, like for men, it's very much about the money thing and the job thing and the providing, you know, a lot of the time. And, you know, that's tricky. And also men, especially at the moment, are in, you know, really in sort of a space of like having to elevate emotionally for women as there's been this change and, you know, the whole dating thing of, you know, men having to sort of level up a bit more emotionally because women have become so emotionally intelligent and more independent, you know, et cetera, and so the gap between the two has got bigger. So they've also got that on their plate as well. But yeah, you know, pressure is relative, isn't it? It's all how we manage it in our head. It's never anything outside of ourselves. It's what's going on in our mind that really, really matters because it's that that creates the pressure, you know. And that's really important to understand of all of these things. Anything outside of ourselves is all about how we interpret that, the interpretation of, you know, the plane is delayed and the baby doesn't stop crying and, you know, I haven't got service to call my mom and da 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 da. All of those things are situations and they're all factual. And it's how we interpret that and think about that that then either creates the pressure or creates the calm. And that's on us.
Do you know what? That you've taught me that. And I employed this the other night when the baby wouldn't stop crying in the middle of the night. And I put him down and he was asleep. I rocked him to sleep, put him down asleep. 2 minutes later, screaming. And I was like, do you know what? I can either think this is fucking awful. This is horrendous. I'm so exhausted. I want to scream. Mm-hmm. Or I can think, do you know what? Like, this is going to pass. I'm just going to like,
brilliant.
You know, and
brilliant.
I'm.
And how did you feel when you changed?
So much better.
And
so much better.
And that's it.
And it's like an acceptance of the situation rather than fighting it and pushing it like, no, I can't. Like, this isn't fair. I don't want to do this. Not that I don't want to do this, but like, I just want to go to sleep, you know? And then I was like, actually, if I just accept it and like, this is how it is and this is okay and this is going to pass at some point. And then everything felt so much better.
Do you know, I feel emotional when you say that because I know that I've, you know, known you for how long now? And we've had that conversation many times. And it sounds like to me, you're really starting to, in quotes, get it.
Yeah.
Like
on
a deep level. I'm talking head to heart level, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're never perfect and because we have to keep learning and keep growing. But it does make me feel a bit emotional because I know that you learning that is going to make your life so much better. And that's
so
beautiful.
I think what I find hard is I'm not very good at like... I'm not very good at applying it to situations. I'm not even good at recognizing that I'm in a situation where I need to apply your advice. Does that make sense?
I love that you said that because a lot of my work with my clients in the beginning is very much simply about awareness.
Right.
That word in and of itself is massive because it takes time.
Yeah.
How can we change something we're not aware of, right?
Yeah.
So learning about that awareness of like, oh, I could be doing that here. That can take time.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I was going through it and I had to learn about connecting to my feelings, right? Like I had been conditioned as a kid to not feel my feelings, let alone speak them up and say them, right? Yeah. It was literally, it was a conditioning, okay? No one's fault. It was what I learned. Mm-hmm. And when I learned, you know, and I was going through learning about, you know, dating and all of that, which was the only area it really seemed to come out in, I really had to learn, oh, there's this feeling inside of me that doesn't feel right. And that took me a really long time to just connect to that feeling. And that was before I learned to speak about the feeling, say, hey, there's this feeling. You know, like, it's such a journey just to get there. Yeah. And so be kind to yourself in that space. And even the fact that we can have this conversation of like, I don't even know when I'm doing it, is the beginning of sort of sprinkling the seeds of like, oh, I could start to be a bit more aware of that. One of the other tools and tips I give clients with that is sometimes it's really good to like set an alarm on your phone and maybe like 10 in the morning or and then at 12 and then at 4 and then at 6, just an alarm. So you don't even have to put anything in your diary, just an alarm. And that alarm can remind you, am I thinking about what I'm thinking about properly?
Right.
Am I practicing my awareness around what's going on in my head? Right. And this is really powerful because the more that happens, the more we become aware, then we can step into the second stage, which is I can change it.
Yeah. When you are aware and when you do apply it, it is magic, right?
Magic.
But then, yeah, it is the awareness and like picking up on it. Because, yeah, it's like it's on one hand to hear that you have the power completely to change your mindset.
100%.
That's very empowering. And it's good to hear because it's like, okay, well, yeah, it's empowering. But on the same time, it's like, it's frustrating because it's like,
Shit, I've got to do it.
Well, and
anything worth having is worth working at.
Right. Yeah.
And that is people's choice, right? Which is why, you know, you can sit in that place of, oh, God, this, that, nah, nah, which I call victim mentality.
Which in a way is easier, right? In the moment is easier. In the moment, rather than having to like do some hard work.
Take your response. I had this with my sister the other day because Katia has been fully Jacqueline. Like she's like, I hear Kat beats sometimes and I'm like, oh, it's so annoying because I was like, I was feeling so stressed last week. I had so much on. And I was saying to Kat, I was like, because she was coming to help me do something with the pod. And I was like, can you be here this time? I've got to go for a run. I've got to go for a run in the morning, but I've got mastitis and I don't feel well or whatever. And she's like, well, you don't have to. And I was like, well, I do. And she's like, well, you don't. And I was like,
that's definitely me.
Well, I do. And it was so annoying. And it was like much easier for me to be like, well, I do, because then I have to answer to that. But then I actually had to be like, well, then fine, I don't have to. I'm choosing to. And she's like, well, then you can't really moan about it. And it's like, oh, God, that's so good.
And also, you know, let's pick up on that. And this will be an interesting conversation because exactly what you say, people think, oh, well, it's just easier if I don't.
Mm.
But my question is, really? Really? Like, prove to me it's easier. Because actually, anything that requires, like, self-discipline stuff to get yourself to that point, you can call it hard or you can call it amazing. How amazing that I know that this is the tool to get me there.
Yeah.
So how is it easy to stay in a low energy, low living, low feeling place? Like, is it easy? Like, really?
I also find with that that it's like I end up, what happens for me if I sit in that situation for too long is I just feel so much resentment and I always feel it at myself in the long run. And it's because it took me so long to realise that it was my own fault. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like I don't blame other people, but I don't take the responsibility early on. And if I don't take it early on, then by the time it starts to really suck, then I resent myself for not taking it. And then I'd rather take the responsibility earlier than feel the resentment later. Does that make sense?
That's adulting as well, right?
Yeah.
A lot of that is growing up.
Yeah. So weird, I'm growing up.
But you say that, but like, I don't think without you and without, you know, getting into resources of my own accord, I don't think I would have gotten there. Like, I don't think that feels like a normal part of adulting.
What do you mean?
I think a lot of people don't get there because they don't
know how to,
or don't even know that that's a thing that they have to do.
But I think on that level as well, there are a lot of parents who have kids, you know, like boomer generation who have kids who haven't learned that stuff. They haven't healed their inner children, and that's why, like,
but that's their own journey, right? Like, we all get through that. We don't all, actually. Let me retract that.
Yeah.
Some of us go through the journey and some of us just don't.
Yeah.
And that's how it works. You know, like, if you want it enough, you will. Mm. If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, you will find stuff to feel better. You will learn how to do that for yourself. Mm. And if you are happy sitting in that place of like, misery and low level, and then you won't ever take the journey. But that's okay. There's no right or wrong.
Yeah.
It's just how do you want to live and how do you want to feel?
Yeah.
For me, it was, you know, non-negotiable.
But it's also kind of annoying. It's also kind of annoying that you then have to take response. Like, I don't know.
I'm really looking forward to this bit. Come on.
No, because,
bring it.
Because the thing,
no, it is annoying.
Because what I find
what's
hard.
Annoying?
Like, what I find hard, right? Okay, so at the moment, I feel a lot of pressure. And when I spoke to you, in our real session, I said, you asked me to list off all the things I had going on and write them all down so like I could see it. And then it was like, you have to take, and then the next step is like, well, you have to remove some of this. Like, you can't do everything, right? You've got to remove some of this from your priority list or from right now. But when I look at that fucking list, I'm like, nothing can go. Nothing can go. Everything has to stay. And that's the annoying bit for me, because I know ultimately, if I'm going to choose myself, something probably does have to give, but I don't want it to.
But you see, that's right. A deeper conversation, right?
Is it? Okay.
Which is what I was thinking about from the minute we started this whole thing.
Yeah.
Which is, it actually runs a lot deeper than there's a million things I've got to do.
Yeah.
What really the topic of conversation underneath that is why? What makes you think you have to do all these things? What makes you feel like you can't say no? Do you know what I mean? And then we get into that whole thing of, you know, what does it look like? Is it a fear of failure? Is it a fear of success? I mean, it could be a million different things, right? Mm. That's what, again, coaching is for, to do it personalised. But is it failing? Is it success? Is it I can't say no? Is it I can't be sitting down without having anything to do? I can't sit with myself. Like, there's a million things that this could be.
Is it all of the above?
And it's a bit like the eating thing, right? Which you'll know. It's like, we can talk about, when I work with people with like, I say it, disordered eating, but it's like, it's not about the fucking cookies. I don't care how many fucking cookies you eat. I want to know, whilst you're shoving the cookies in your mouth, which is fine, that's not the problem, I want to know why. Is it I hate my boyfriend and I don't want to be in this relationship, or I can't deal with my job, or my mum's really annoying me? It's the why behind it that's really more important than, oh, you shouldn't be eating those cookies or blah, blah, blah. Like, it's never about the cookies. I think that's probably going to be my next book. Like,
it's never about the cookies. Because, oh my God, do it.
Because it's always about the why behind these things, right? So when you're adding more things and more things and more things, which you want to do, right? And you want to be a mum and a wife and a daughter and a sister, right? You want to do all these things. And that's, again, like, oh my God, my brain's going off into 20 different things. But that's about women being told, sold a lie that you can do it all and be perfect at all of it, right? Now add social media into it and you really think that's real and it isn't. You have to sit down and check out what is going on for me here and why is this happening? It's more about the why. That's really what I'm trying to get to.
You asked, like, yes, do I need to answer it?
We all want to know, Em, what's the why?
I'm really bad at saying no. And then, but that comes back to the resentment that we were saying earlier. It's like, I can't say no. And then once I haven't said no, then I resent it later. And again, I resent myself because it's like, I should have said no to this, but I didn't say no to this. Now I'm in the mess that I made for myself.
So what's the problem with saying no?
I don't know.
But that's not an answer.
I know. It's people-pleasing. I know it's people-pleasing.
But all of this, just, you just love to throw a label.
Okay,
right?
Fine.
It's people-pleasing. So just, like, if you hang loose with that for a second and say, right, I just need to stop and I just need to think, right?
Yeah.
What happens inside of me when I think I'm going to say no to this person? What comes up?
I don't know. Like, guilt? Yeah, guilt.
Okay, so guilt is a feeling created by a thought. So what thoughts creates that feeling?
That I think I'm letting them down.
There we go. Right. Yeah. I'm letting this person down.
Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, actually, you don't have that power to control their thinking.
Yeah.
So they are either that other person is either going to think, oh, she's letting me down, which is their decision, or they're going to think, okay, that's fine, I'll do it another day.
Yeah.
None of that have you got any control over. We could agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's interesting as well, because when I say, like, yesterday when we were everyone was going on in the WhatsApp group, and I put my boundary down, I was like, it's 5:30, childcare's over, I need to be with
Love
my kid
that.
Now. And you guys were like, okay, and it was fine.
And that's the thing, is that I feel compelled to say, even though it shouldn't matter what I think, but if you ever say no to anything me or the podcast. I'm not going to be, I'm not going to, you're not going to be letting me down. I'm not going to be offended by it.
Yeah. It's, I don't say no. And then I don't do the job properly. And that's what annoys people more, which is fair enough because I say I can do something and then I don't do it well.
So you're not going to like this, but now you know that. Why aren't you changing it?
I know. Well, I did. I sent the message yesterday.
Okay. So you
and
are
I said that. And I loved that. That was great. I was like, yeah, perfect.
And you know the weirdest thing.
See ya.
See ya. By the way, all women, as we grow up, are having this conversation, right? And age is a big part of it too. I'm about 107 years older than both of you put together. And as a woman grows up, we learn more and more. We come into our own more and more, and we get more confidence, and we give less of a shit, right? Mm-hmm. And when we learn, like you're doing, to say no, and you start to understand that everyone's like, yeah, okay, fine, you start to do it more and more and more and more and more. So actually, if you've done it once and you've got, you've seen that you've said no and it's fine, you need to continue to do that. And that's also really important self-development work.
Pushing it on the other side, what about fear of failure? Like, because I feel like that's what a lot of women have as well. In, you touched on it earlier about this thing, the feeling like we have to have it all. And I know men have it too, but like it's mostly women listening. And obviously, we're all women. But like, I have to have it on, particularly now, like I'm a mum.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've talked about this a bit. And it's like, you want to have like, you need you want to have a successful career and you want to be the best mum and you want to do all the things, but you physically can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you cope with that? Like, how do you not feel shit all the time with that?
So first of all, I think that fear of failure is all about perfectionism. And it's all about like an insecurity about not being perfect. That's my personal opinion about it, right? There's this insecurity of like, I'm not perfect at this thing, right? So in which case, some people just don't do anything because they don't want to fail. And some people overachieve, right?
Do not overachieve. Do not look at me.
Not true.
So let's break that down, right? Because what is this thing about women having to do it all and be perfect? Why?
It's tiring.
Why do we have to do that?
It's exhausting.
Like, why?
Yeah. And there's a million reasons, but they're not real because they're all societal, they're all pressure, they're all so unfair.
I've worked with around 9,000. I've done like around 9,000 clients, right? And I always say to people, like, I'm yet to meet a perfect one. Like, what does that look like, this perfect person that has this perfect life? And that's why, as much as I love social media, I hate it in the same amount, because a lot of this is like, what are you looking at? You're only looking at this perfected, curating. Like, when I see these women with like five kids and all the kids look perfect and, you know, they're posing to the camera and it's like, but that's not real life. It's a snapshot of your life for 1 second, which is great, but that cannot be your real life, right? And we are, and that's not their fault, right? Because we're taught that that's what we have to show. But actually, that's really dangerous. In fact, I was reading this blog yesterday from Mark Groves, who's amazing. And he has just had a baby with his wife. And Create the Love is his Instagram handle. And he's coming off Instagram. He's got 1.1 million followers. He's like, this doesn't feel true to me. Social media feels like an abusive relationship and I'm out because I don't want to be doing that while I'm a dad now. And I thought that was a really powerful thing for him to do, because it can be very, very, very dangerous, right? Like, it's hard enough living life, right? But then on top of that, you add on, oh my God, but they're living life in a better way and she looks better and he looks this. And it's just adds on a layer of stuff. Like, I really think it's really important to do the work on ourselves, to be totally comfortable with knowing that we're doing good enough. I had a therapist once that taught me that. And she was like, you know, it was back in the day when I was just getting clean. And she was like, Jacqueline, good enough is good enough. And I made a choice that is what it is, you know, and it will constantly evolve as we grow as women. You guys are going through it with motherhood. I go through it aging, right? That good enough is good enough, right? I don't have a 25-year-old's body anymore. Sometimes I need to stretch in the morning, you know, and I'm like, God, I remember my mum saying that. Like, oh, God, it's happening to me. It's good enough. I don't need to be anything other than what I am, which is perfectly imperfect because I'm human. And I think, you know, we have to, if we're struggling, the social media aspect of it is really important, you know, and I always bang on about that. Like, take away those people that look perfect on your feed. It's unhelpful. It's unhelpful. Step away from it. Not good.
Yeah.
No one's doing it perfectly.
That's the first time that I've felt it since being a mom. I never, maybe because I really felt like I healed my relationship with my body and stuff before I got into socials in the way that, you know, we use them now. But I think it's the area that you feel insecure that you, and there are like a couple of women that I look to and I'm like, fuck. Like they had kids the same time as me. I talked about it last time with you. That you just compare yourself, oh, how they're doing this, and they're having nights away, and they're doing all that. And it's because I know it. I'm aware enough to know it's because I'm insecure in my new role, because I haven't been doing it very long, and I haven't really worked out where I'm at. And I think I've got full confidence, and then there's a oh shit, and then I trip over something, and then when you're feeling vulnerable, it's so easy to just.
Because you're human.
Yeah.
And because you're human. Yeah. But also, these people, you know. A lot of, I don't know who you're talking about specifically, and that's fine. I don't want to. But I want to say
No, I love Molly
Probably
May.
Probably Molly
not
May.
Molly May. Leave her.
Molly.
Yeah, get her name out your mouth, Alex.
Molly May is
we love Molly.
She's my pregnancy best friend.
She
doesn't know I exist. She had her baby.
She's entirely unaware of her.
She's completely unaware, but she had her baby like a week before me.
Did she?
Yeah. And I, you know, when you just, I don't know, when I was pregnant, I was like, oh, she's also pregnant. So I'd be like, oh, she's just, you know, we're on the same path. And then she had very different paths now, just because her house is all beige and mine's all messy. But actually, she's not what I can, because I know her job, like I get her job is what it is. And we're just complete. She's also like 20 minutes old, like with different people. That's not that. It's like, I don't actually do it with her, but it's actually the more... But it's, I make it up. I project. I make up.
But that's exactly it, right? Because you see a picture.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about Molly May's pictures you're talking about.
But it's not Molly.
I'm talking about anybody, right?
Yeah. No, I didn't mean that. I love Molly May. Sorry, I didn't mean that. Just
I think we all have a Molly May love, right? Let's just admit that we all love her. But you can look at a picture on Instagram, right, of anybody and go, oh, my God. But you don't understand that behind that picture... They're suffering probably with anxiety. They're like having issues, or they maybe got on the scales and were like, oh my God, I'm 4 pounds heavier, right? But they're not talking about that bit.
Yeah.
And so what we're doing is looking at the picture and going, oh my God, they're so far ahead of me. Like, stop.
Stop.
And if you can't do it, don't be looking at it.
And it's so true that it comes from self doubt. Like, I'm not triggered by bodies anymore. Like, how people look on Instagram, I'm not triggered. I could see anyone and anything, and I just don't care. I'm like, good for you, don't care. But and do you remember when I was a few weeks in, a girl who had a baby the same time as me, and I'm still only 10 weeks in, but a girl who had a baby the same time as me, and like, I think it was 2 weeks in, and she was going to press, she was going out to work stuff and taking her baby with her and going out to cafes and getting dressed, and I was like, I can't even fathom stepping outside of my house with the baby. Like, I went for a walk and we went home after 10 minutes because I was so scared that he was too cold, you know?
Can I just say, what you don't see is this person may have put that picture up, but what you don't know is 10 minutes later, she could be sitting in a cafe crying her eyes out, calling her mum, going, I can't do this anymore. I just can't.
I just don't know. Right. I know.
So this is why we've got to use, if we're going to go onto social, you've got to have your brain intact first. It's like what you said, when I did my work around my body image, I remember like opening up Vogue. I love Vogue, right? Mm. And I remember opening up after I'd done my work and going, oh, all these girls are 50. Like, of course they look like that. It didn't affect me at all.
No.
And I was like, wow. Because before that, it was like, oh my God, her legs are long and my And it's like such a waste of your brilliant brain space.
Yeah.
Such a waste of your brain. And I feel like that's a hard, I mean, you know, I don't want to like go off topic, but like, I'm going to. I just feel like if people really understood the power of their brains, they would utilize them in such better ways.
Yeah.
Like you'd get into bed and read a book and you wouldn't be on the Daily Mail. Do you know what I mean? Like, use your brilliant brain to do amazing things in your world and your life. Like, don't be doing that other stuff on.
Doom scrolling.
But that's why I think it's important to talk about. I know people do talk about the, you know, the social media, you know, not showing a true, you know, snapshot of people's lives. But it's important to talk about that because, you know, I've thought about it and done so much work about comparing myself to other people. But still, when I saw those pictures, I go, I didn't think to myself, oh, well, there's another side to this. What I'm seeing isn't the entirety of her life, of her day, of what's going on with her. You know, and I think that's so, we have to be keep being reminded of that.
So maybe
to like look beyond what we're seeing.
Yeah, and maybe a tip for that for people that are listening are move the icon on your phone into a different place, right? So that you don't automatically go to that place, right? So you've moved it to like the second page or third page of your phone, yeah. right? Which will remind you, yeah. oh, okay, before I go there, I must remember that what I'm about to look at is going to be curated art that isn't real, and then I'll go on it. So like put a step into that place that can wake you up yeah. before you go into that mindless, oh, it's there on my phone and off I go. And then I don't give myself the opportunity to realise what I'm about to do.
Is there an element there then of you're avoiding it?
No, you're being conscious of what yeah. you're doing.
Okay.
I'm not into avoiding. It's like when you've got a tricky family member, right? Like, yeah. I'm not into avoiding. Ideally, we don't. Ideally, we learn how to manage that in our minds.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Going back to the pressure thing, if people are listening and it's like, so you need to take something off your plate or whatever, but if you're listening and you've got like a mad busy job and a kid and a whatever, that's the thing a lot of the time for people. If they there's literally nothing they can do, this is just their situation.
I don't agree there's nothing people can do. First of all, let's take it right back to these are all your choices, okay. right? You choose to go to work because you no doubt choose to pay your mortgage, right? Yeah. But that's a choice.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to work, but then you don't pay your mortgage and you lose your home. That's your choice too. But you're not choosing that. You're choosing to go to work to pay your bills, right?
Yeah.
First of all, that's a choice. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do anything. You're choosing to have children.
Yeah.
That's
your
choice.
But once you've already done it.
But it was your choice to keep a baby, right? But that's your choice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Currently, I mean, we're talking about London, right? I'm not talking about, because I don't know about other areas and rules and regulations. I'm talking about
here,
right? Let's just be clear, because, you know, I'm sure there'll be someone that will go, it's not my choice and I live in this country and blah, 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 right? Yeah. So let's just talk about England. So these are choices.
Yeah.
You have chosen to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's your choice.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so with whatever comes with that is what comes with that. But be gentle with yourself.
Yeah.
Right? They're choices. So,
people will be triggered by that. Can we just explore it?
Yeah, sure.
Because people will say, okay, so I made the choice to have a kid and I know that you're going to break this down and I need you to break this down because I have heard this so many times where people say, well, yeah, it was my choice, but does that mean I'm not allowed to complain? Or I didn't know it was going to be this hard.
And it is hard. It's really fucking hard.
But people,
really fucking hard. And you made the choice to do it.
Yeah.
So when I make choices to do things that are really fucking hard, because guess what? That's called real life.
Yeah.
Right? When I make those choices to do fucking hard things, that's how I grow.
It does,
and how I mentally deal with that is on me.
Yeah,
also, round and moan about it. Your decision. I'm not saying anything's right or wrong.
Yeah.
Right? You do you.
Yeah.
And life is full of hard choices, guys.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you don't do anything, in which case it's probably not hard, right?
Yeah.
But people that do want to elevate and push and grow and even live, right? It's hard. There's a cost of living crisis, right? Like, it's hard to pay bills. Everything's a nightmare, right? Like, it's hard sometimes. And what are you going to do with that? Sit and go, well, I didn't. You can. Good for you.
Yeah, waste of energy.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah,
I would say use your brain correctly. Look at the choices you've made. Accept that life is difficult and try to find ways to think about those choices that make you feel better.
Yeah. And actually, it's quite a nice thing because when you say like you chose to have a baby, then you do go back to like, because instantly when I hear that, I think, oh, yeah, like what a treat. Lucky me. And it's like a nice rather than like, oh, I have to get this and this and this done so that I can be home in time for childcare. And this is so difficult. And this is blah, blah, blah. You actually just go back to like, oh, yeah, I've got.
Right. And then, like, and then you can even go to a second layer of that, which is, okay, all right, I'm struggling. It's hard. I haven't slept. I want to cry. This is difficult, right? Mm. Let's just start there. Okay. Like, this is really fucking hard. Fine. We start there. The next step is saying, okay, admittedly, this was my choice to have this baby. I chose to do it. And so this is now my responsibility. The second step to that is, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I've got, this is a miracle. Babies are miracles. Think about we're miracles.
Think about how we're even here, right?
Yeah. It's your parents that had to meet and their parents and their parents. And we're talking hundreds of millions of years, like, miracle. Right?
Miracle.
So how beautiful, right? Whenever things get really tough, for me, I will always bring it right back, which is like, so for you guys, it's like, how amazing. I've got this miracle in my arms.
Yeah.
This is a miracle.
Yeah.
And today is today. I just have to worry about today and it's all going to be all right.
Yeah.
Today is a miracle. I've got a miracle. And so much happier, again, I feel emotional, to walk through the door to greet this baby than to walk through the door and not have this baby.
Yeah.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
My hormones are just...
Bring it back is what I'm saying. It's like, you know, this is what I'm saying about the power of your brain, right? And it, of course, it's overwhelming. And of course, it's exhausting. All of these things are true. Life is.
Yeah.
It really can be. Like, none of us are immune to that, right? It's okay to cry because it's exhausting being a mum. It's exhausting. I hear it all the time. Right. And we can only do the best we can do. And all the things we worry about, like, it's unlikely that they're going to happen. Right. You know what I mean? Like, just keep it in the day.
Yeah.
It's a miracle you've got.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to make me cry. I'm feeling emotional. I don't know why. What's making you emotional there?
I mean, my hormones are particularly
okay
up the wall right now.
Do you need a cuddle?
But also... I think I just, I mean, I came into this session being like, the session, for you, like,
yes.
I came into this recording thinking, oh, I don't think I have anything really to talk to Jack about. And now I'm like, oh, how long are you going to stay for?
The reason I
think,
go on.
I mean, it's, there's like two main things. It's like guilt and then the anxiety and what you're saying about, like, just staying in the day and staying in the moment, like, I'm really trying hard to do.
I think, you know, when you were having some tears just now, my gut feeling on that was just that, because I could feel that you're so in your head.
Yes.
That when I say to you, keep it in the daylight, you've got a miracle.
Yeah.
It felt like to me, everything just dropped down and you're like,
yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I'm a bit witchy like that. I can feel it. And you know, the thing is, it's
that's
like,
exactly it.
Yeah, and the thing is, this is why I bang on and on, and I know I annoy everyone. Yeah. Manage your mind.
Yeah.
Your mind is really powerful. It's going to make your day or break your day.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to make your life calm and chilled, or it's going to make your life anxious and worried. What you're doing in your mind is very normal. People do that. It's okay. It's just bringing it back again. Right? It's like an elastic band, just bringing it back again and being, putting things throughout your day in place to remind yourself to be conscious, just to turn it down a level.
Yeah.
You know, recovery was a big part of learning, which was their saying, you know, and it's the thing that got me clean just for today.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, when you can't stop using drugs, it's like literally half an hour.
Yeah.
If I can just get to 11 o'clock, it's 10:30 and I don't use, then I'll just do that. And sometimes it's about just breaking it down, just breaking it down, just for today, just for today, just for today. I can do anything just for today. And we layer the pressure on ourselves, don't we? And we layer all these, oh God, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, and da, 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 he's not this, isn't it? Just tone it down.
Mm-hmm.
It's all gonna be all right. Life has a miraculous way of working out.
I used the example before, like, oh, you've got to get up and you've got to go to work, and it feels like you've got all this pressure and everything feels so massive, and you've got deadlines and you've got a wedding this weekend and you've got that, and life, like, can feel so intense and, like, you just don't catch your breath. And, like, I don't think I've sat down comfortably for, like, 3 or 4 days. I told you I haven't eaten a vegetable in, like, I can't remember what I've eaten. Like, I've just had, like, the most mad few days. But it's like I can feel this like this calmness when you're like, it's just today. And then I'm like, oh my God, it's just today. And then I can think, rather than thinking about my whole life, which feels so mad right now, I can be like, well, I've just got this. And then at one, I've got this. And then at five, I've got this. And it's like nice then. I'm like, oh, and then... And it just feels so much calmer.
It's like being given permission.
It's literally like being given permission.
And that's what I want to work on, is like being able to give permission to myself, because, I feel it. When you say it, I feel it.
Yeah, same.
But when I tell myself, I don't necessarily feel it. Maybe I just need to record you saying it.
maybe you need to do the work on doing it for yourself, right?
Yeah.
Because that's really important.
Yeah.
And if you haven't eaten a vegetable for 7 days or 4 days,
green shake.
Yeah, but you know what? That's all right too.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about with perfectionism. That's like, nice. You know what? It's okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's okay.
When we had this session the other day, I thought, and I always think I'm going to be in trouble, and there's definitely some, we don't need to go into why that is.
That's the next podcast.
Yeah. I always think like I haven't been practicing hard enough, and I haven't been doing the work hard enough. And actually, if I take stock, the difference that you've made to my life is so massive. And like,
oh, thank you.
Are you kidding?
Like, that's very lovely.
Are you kidding? Like, I honestly, I'm a completely different person. I'm so free of the judgment of other people now. Particularly since having Arlo, and we had that one session just before she was born, and we talked about it. And the minute she was born, I was like, oh, they can all get fucked. Like, they just get, and I really feel that now. And like, you've got me there with that, and we've got me there with that. And then, With the circumstantial stuff where I used to panic, where I used to worry about the future, I don't do that anymore because I just can't be bothered. I just think it's a waste of my energy. And you've taught me that I get that choice.
Great.
But this feels like the hardest. And I think it's because I see all the tools that you've given me, and I've seen that I know what I have to do. But this feels like my final, like the something I'm stuck on.
It's the deep one for you, and it's the core work. And that's the beauty of having a relationship like we do in coaching, where, you know, you can pop in and pop out of it. And when you're ready to do this next part, you'll phone me and we'll do it, right? We'll like do it, right? And this is about pulling down the layers, right? Like the first layer was this, and then the second layer. Yeah. And now we're into that core deep part.
Yeah, it's so interesting, isn't it? Because it was like the first layer was like other people, and then the second layer was like the future and the anxiety. And then it's just like, and they do feel so external now looking at them.
Yeah.
But this final bit,
But it's not final.
Not.
You know, but there's always stuff.
This
right?
next bit just feels so, I feel so close to it because I can see it. And it's just, it's this fear. But the thing that I can't work out yet is, I got that I was scared of not being liked, and I got before that I was scared of bad things happening. Like, I understood the anxieties but this bit, I'm like, what am I scared of? Like, and I can't, am I scared of being a bad mum? But no, because I genuinely believe I'm a really good mum. Like, that feels so right to me.
Get into coaching. I keep banging on about it because, I think it was Einstein that said, and don't quote me on this, but I think it was Einstein that said, you cannot fix the problem with the same mind that created it.
Yeah, okay.
Right, it's like that. And, to me, that was so brilliant, because I'm like, but I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do that, but why can't I do this thing? And sometimes when our brain gets stuck on this patterning of thinking, it's very hard to crack it ourselves. It's very hard.
Yeah.
So sometimes, we've got to look at being in a place like that and go, I actually need a bit of help. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Like when I do, there'll be so many tears because I feel scared of it. Like, I feel like I'm right there with it, but I can't work it out. But it feels very like,
that's exciting.
It's really exciting. I'm not ready just yet. Give me a month or so.
Whenever you're ready. I'm not sitting here going, when's she gonna find
me? No,
whenever you're ready.
I feel very close to it. But like, this conversation's really made me, I don't know, feel like it's within grasp, which is cool.
Really cool.
Yeah.
But that's a great place to be in. And that's the space of either we elevate and grow by getting our help and doing our work, or we sit in it for another, not saying right or wrong, or you sit in it for a year or two or three or four, like, up to you. How do you want to live your life?
I keep saying this to Georgie at the moment. You were saying it before, but it's like, I keep saying it online. It's so good. And it's like, getting better is hard, but hurting is hard too. So you just have to choose your hard.
Yeah, it's like saying that quote, isn't it? Of like, it's harder to remain tight in the bud than it is to bloom.
Yeah, wow.
And it's so true, because there comes a time where you are ready because it's painful.
Yeah.
Right? Pain can push you into growth a lot of the time.
Like, do you not feel pressure so much now?
In what way pressure?
Like, this life pressure. You know, when I was describing before, like, oh, I've got to do this and blah, blah, blah. Do you ever...
No, because everything I do is my choice.
So you just wake up in the morning like,
yay,
today.
I'm not into like, oh, hurrah, I wake up in the morning and the flowers are flowering. It's not Disney World, right?
Yeah.
But what I will say is and I've said this before on this podcast, I hit a level that one should never hit through my addiction. So I am someone who is very grateful to be alive. Yeah. Right. So okay. I start there. Right. Yeah. I have a real gratitude for life. Yeah. Right. So I do wake up probably a bit more positive than most people because I can open my eyes. Right. Yeah, and I've got a roof over my head. And, you know, I'm not living in the place I used to live in when I was in active addiction. So already I've got massive gratitude for life. And second of all, I will say that, you know, I am not immune to life happening. Right. I have exactly the same stuff that a lot of people have. You know, I'm a busy girl. I run my private practice. I run my school. You know, I live between two different places. Like life's busy. I've got elderly parents. I've got blah, 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 blah. Right. So that I'm not immune to life happening around me. But what I am well versed and practiced in is managing my mind around it. So when you say, do I feel pressure? I'm going to say no. Because even through all of the stuff that happens, I say to myself, all of these things are my choices, which doesn't mean I'm like happy all the time. And sometimes I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake.
What if you make the wrong choice?
I don't believe in making the wrong choice. That never enters my brain.
So you don't have regret?
No.
Wow, that's nice.
Because how could I be here? Like every single thing I've thought and said and done has brought me to this moment.
Yeah.
So none of it was wrong.
Yeah. That's so nice because I think it's little things. Like I got on a really busy train this morning. I was like, ah. And the inclination is to get annoyed. And then you catch yourself and you're like, well, it's stupid to be annoyed because I'm on the train either way. So I'm going to either be happy on the train or annoyed on the train. And I'd rather be happy on the train. So I'm going to be happy on the train. But again, I've only done that because of coaching, because that's the sort of thing that sets people's days off wrong.
But that's true, right? How cool that I've got a train I can jump on that's going to take me 10 minutes instead of blah, 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 being late, being in a car. Like, how cool is this, right? Not beautiful.
Yeah.
There might be, you know, people that I might find a little bit interesting to be so soon next to.
Yeah.
But how cool that I've got a 10-minute journey instead of a 45-minute journey. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Right?
It's such a wonderful
or not
switch.
Yeah. Or not.
Or yeah, or you can say,
I hate my life. I can't believe I've got to get a train. This is so depressing. Oh, God. Right. Yeah. How do you want to live?
Yeah.
Which isn't also going, oh, I'm so happy. I've got to jump on a train and it's so wonderful. Right? That's not... Yeah. I'm not into that, you know, this whole happy, clappy, positive thinking your way through it. Like, you've got to believe thoughts you're choosing. That's the key.
Yeah, you can't just smear on the
Twitter
or whatever, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, and, you know, as I said, like, do I feel, going back to that, do I feel pressure? I feel like sometimes real life happens and, you know, I hate things like red tape and blah, blah, and, like, those things, you know. But also, like, I will find ways to think about things so that I don't feel pressure.
I love that.
That's exciting that that's an option.
It is.
Totally an option.
I love spending time with you.
Me too. It
makes me feel just so hopeful and happy.
Yeah.
That's lovely. I don't really, you know, thank you. But
you don't care, right? Because it doesn't.
Well, it's just, it's lovely, right?
I didn't mean that. In. But like, but like, I always,
why would you care?
No, but I kind of love that. You're just like, yeah, either way, whether you like spending time with me or not, it doesn't matter to me.
Well, it's not, let's not be like, it's not, oh, it doesn't matter to me. It's just like, that's lovely that you guys like to spend time with me. And I love to spend time with you guys, right? Like, I love these conversations.
Yeah.
You know, and that's great. And I also can't control whether you do love them or you don't love them.
Yeah.
Right? So I can't jump into that space.
I see.
I feel like we're just about to go there. Yeah. It's not
I'm very black and white with my thinking, right? So I'm like, how do you enjoy that we say, oh, we love spending time with you without it making, without that contributing to your, like, your value?
Because you both don't define my value.
Mm.
And what?
Right?
We don't rude. Define your value.
I know. So rude. As I say, like, some people will listen to the podcast and be like, oh my God, I love what Jack has said. And other people are going to be like, she talks a load of shit. I can't control any of that. Like, all right.
Yeah. Okay.
I remember Eckhart Tolle had talking once.
God, yeah.
I remember this. I think I will. And it was like, he was saying, he did this talk And in the talk, he said, you know, there will be one person here sitting in this room who's going to say that I've said something wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're going to be stuck in their ego. And the ego is going to clamp onto, he said X and that was wrong.
Yeah.
And they're going to miss his whole talk. Mm. And that's the difference between living from like your soul and living from your ego, right?
Yeah.
So there will always be people that will clamp onto something that we say and they believe is wrong.
Mm.
And that's okay. That's their journey.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that I have to wobble because I might not agree.
You're so stable.
Do you know how
I want to be stable?
Yeah, but you know, it took a lot of work, guys. Like, it takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's important to do the work to become that way. For me, it was, right?
And I think it's good to know and for people to hear that you haven't always been like this. Like, you weren't born like this, like not caring what people think. Like, this is
totally the opposite.
And it means that it's possible for all of us as well, which is
100%.
Cool.
I mean, I started my journey at 25 years old when I got clean, and I'm a little bit older now. You know, like, it takes time and it takes work. But when you do that foundational work, right? Like you've been doing, you know that it grows, right? You start to feel more stable and you start to feel calmer and you start to feel more, you know, relaxed. You can breathe a little bit more. There's a bit more space, you know, like that work is important to do.
And then it just gets better. I didn't recognize myself from before Jack.
Yeah.
Like the volatility, like I feel, and I know I don't appear stable to a lot of people. Like, I know that my energy levels make me quite volatile and kind of in energy. Like, I get that when people would look at me, they think, oh, she's chaos. Like, I do appreciate how I'm perceived.
Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, but sorry, it's also feedback I receive quite a lot. But I get that. I do understand.
Which is still not about you.
Agree. But like, I understand that, but I think actually at my core, I don't feel that that aligns. I think, yeah, like my energy, and I know it's ADHD or whatever, but I actually feel so much. If I look back at the girl who came to you, that was a very volatile person.
Very different.
Because it was all my ego, and I was so insecure.
Yeah,
and
wobbly.
So wobbly.
Yeah.
Whereas now, although I fluctuate in loads of ways, the core of who I am feels so much more established.
Definitely. The foundations are stronger. But also, I just want to say, like, you say, oh, I might come across as like all over the place. My thoughts around it, and again, people might disagree with me on this, is I think you come across as very real.
Mm.
And I like, as I get older and as I go through the journey of, you know, all of this work, I just love real people today. Like, real is like the word of, you know, the last few years, and it gets more real and more real and more real, right? You know, and real I can relate to, you know, and it feels good.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe instead of looking for perfection, we look for being real.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. I love you. You're so great.
I mean, we're going to end this in the way we always end this with, will you come back, please?
I would love to come back.
Next week.
I would. And, you know, I was saying to you before in Pratt, like, you know, you were like, thanks for coming. And I'm like, I'm so genuinely, truly honoured to be invited in to have these conversations. Mm. And I'm really grateful for the space that you allow me to come in and talk, you know, and share this information with people to know that whatever they're struggling with, you know, they can get better.
And it helps a lot of people. We have the feedback to prove it.
That's lovely.
We love you.
And that's, thank you, Jack.
Mutual love. Thanks. Look at us all feeling emotional now.
Don't.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not ready to go again.
I won't do that.
Four eyes.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. Should I delete that? It's part of the Acast Creator Network.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.